The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. You'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and knowledge the first Wednesday of every month on Lucid Planet Radio. We have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself. And remember, you can stream all of our podcasts for free on thelucidplanet.com, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and SoundCloud. Just search for Lucid Planet Radio. And of course, you can connect with me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly, and as well as on Instagram, The Lucid Planet, to see some of my weird and wonderful adventures. Now, during our last show, you might have heard me talking about my brand new book, Sex Positive, which is out in February of 2020, right around the corner. And if you go to sexpositivebook.com, you can pre-order it and you can find out more about everything that's in it. Now, in the spirit of being sex positive, I am really thrilled today to do a show all about the spiritual or energetic side of sexuality, intimacy, and orgasm. And this is a very complex topic that is often misunderstood. And so with me today are Dr. Jeffrey Talltrees and Sumraj Pokras, the authors of Tantric Pathways, Supernatural Sex. Now, they are a husband and wife sex educator team. How cool is that? And they have written 9 other books about sex and intimacy. Dr. Jeffrey is a workshop leader, an experienced executive, and a licensed psychologist with over 30 years of clinical experience specializing in relationships, human sexuality, and energy medicine. And Sumraj teaches, counsels, and writes a monthly Sacred Sexual Secrets newsletter. Try saying that 3 times fast. His books have sold over 20,000 copies in 115 countries through his website that he designed and maintains. And the couple's most successful title, Female Ejaculation, which came out in 2005, has sold about 50,000 copies to date. Wow. So we've got a lot to talk about, and I cannot wait to get into this. So let's please welcome Sumraj and Jeffrey to the show. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Terrific.
We're good. Happy to be here, wherever we are.
Yes. Gratitude, right? So where I wanted to start with you guys is, you know, we have this thing of semantics. When we talk about anything esoteric, we have all these words that get banded around: supernatural sex, energetic sex, spiritual sex, tantric sex, right? It can be confusing. So I wanted to ask you, since your book is called, you know, Tantric Pathways, Supernatural Sex, what is supernatural sex?
Great place to start. Supernatural sex is sex that is whole body, connecting your energetic and physical self to the divine, to the source. And it's a kind of self-perpetuating experience that goes on for quite a long time, and we can get into more details. But the supernatural part is that it transcends your physical self.
And is this the same as, say, like energy sex or spiritual sex? Can we use those interchangeably, or is there a difference for you?
Well, I think it's a little more comprehensive.
Okay.
Because it's energy sex is a part of it for sure. Energy sex is very, very powerful and an incredible adjunct to physical sex. So it's both. It's
gotcha.
Energetic sex and physical sex.
And
together.
The physical. And I have to ask, you know, what made you decide to write a book about this? How did you stumble, or how did you work your way into this topic?
Well, I'm going to turn that over to my husband, and I'll add on if there's something I want to.
Perfect.
Was studying Tantra. She was working on teacher's training when I met her 23 years ago. And she went back and did the year-long training with our Tantra teacher. And I kind of struggled with the energy sex part of it. Well, the whole part of it. But gradually, we started to make love in a whole new way, where we felt the kundalini, the sexual energy, rising and exchanging between us at our chakras and other levels. So it could be 18, 20 years ago, we said, someday we need to write a book about this, and we're going to call it The Dance of Love.
Oh, I like that.
And after many iterations, it turned out to tantric pathways to what Jeffrey started calling, when I started working on the outline again 2 years ago, she deemed it supernatural.
I like that. So, now, of course, when you first hear it, you think, are they having sex with ghosts, right?
Well, if people contain an aura or a ghost body, I guess we're having sex physically and with each other's ghosts.
I love it. I love it. You mentioned, before we get any deeper, you mentioned Tantra and Kundalini. So Raj, would you mind explaining to our audience who maybe isn't familiar with these terms or has only heard them in passing, what Tantra is and what Kundalini is?
Sure. Well, Tantra is an ancient Eastern spiritual practice, and it's based on what we like to call the metaphysics of sexual energy. They probably didn't call it that 7,000 years ago started.
But right.
It's really a spiritual practice that incorporates physical as well as sacred or soul connection. So the energy from the whole rainbow, from the root of the sex at the body to the top of the head, the connection to the divine.
Yes.
Now, Tantra isn't purely or directly about sex. It's about, like all Eastern practices, reaching enlightenment by becoming more conscious and letting go of the blockages and the baggage you're carrying around. It turned into a sexual practice in the West because we're so repressed and hung up about it. It's just a powerful way to let go of those old beliefs and those old energies and come into tune and find out who we really are on a soul level and a physical level, which means then, simple definition of Tantra, merging sex and spirit.
Merging sex and spirit. And also kind of that integration of the masculine and feminine, but within the self. Or
absolutely.
Is that more Taoism? Is that part of it too?
No, that's, I agree with you. In fact, my favorite definition of Tantra is, of enlightenment is, when the inner masculine and the inner feminine join together.
I love that.
Tantra language, that's enlightenment.
Okay, cool. So we're on the same page there. And then Kundalini specifically is the energy snake coiled at the base of your spine that you can stimulate through these deeper connections to kind of rise through your body. Am I getting that right?
Yes,
that's definitely the way the ancients used it. And we look at sexual energy, that's the synonym or definition of Kundalini, as the life force that expresses itself differently at each chakra, at each energy center throughout the body.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the ancients viewed it as a serpent of dormant energy around the first chakra at the floor of the pelvis. But Kundalini rises through the heart and empowers your love. Through your third eye and your forehead, and it raises your vision and understanding of the world and so on. So it's a universal life force.
This is such a fascinating topic, and I don't know if you guys have noticed in your line of work that young people, like millennials, seem to be really interested in this particular topic right now, the tantric workshops, Kundalini workshops, spiritual sex, energetic sex. I certainly talked about it in my book a little bit, that this ancient knowledge that has been around in our kind of collective unconscious for thousands of years is making its way back into quite a mainstream dialogue Have you guys noticed that? And do you know why that might be happening?
Well, I think things go in waves. And there was a huge wave back in the 70s, 60s yes. and 70s. And Tantra kind of exploded on the American scene. And then, as with most everything, it sort of went underground for a while. And then the millennials kind of picked it up again. And now we're on another another surfing experiment.
I love that. But you do think it's now here's a question though. There's a lot of people who are seeking, and we're seeking this deeper connection with ourselves, with our bodies, with the planet, with each other. Do you need to join a club? Do you need to go to workshops for Tantra, for Kundalini, for this type of stuff? Or is there a way to do it by yourself?
There is a way to do it by yourself. There are some people that are highly motivated, and they can take our book, or they can take our beginner's book, which they can get through our website.
And would you share, Dr. Jeffrey, would you share your website with everyone, too?
Okay. We have two websites, actually. One is supernatural.sex.
Nice.
And our main website is Tantra, A-T, that's at, not the at sign, Tahoe, T-A-H-O-E.com.
Tantra at Tahoe.com.
Okay, so I just want everyone who's listening to know exactly how to get in touch with you to find, you know, all of the stuff that you guys are offering. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let's get back to what you were saying about.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, but I forgot what I was talking about.
Okay. You were talking about how people can use your books to kind of teach themselves if they're self-motivated.
Right. But you have to be pretty motivated, because it means practicing regularly.
This is a spiritual practice.
Yes. Yes. And most people find that taking a weekend workshop or a week-long workshop is a nice jump start and gives them kind of a hands-on beginning. So it just depends on the individual.
The good news about a weekend is you've got the energy of the group and the enlightened or semi-enlightened instructors who are connected to the energy. All wonderful and a big high. But if you come home and don't practice, then you don't develop that energy mastery within yourself. We've done many, many formats of training, groups and individuals and couples, and online and Skype, blah, blah, blah. And we find that the best way to do it is whatever worked for the individual, to get them individually or with their partner to do the exercises that they learn in our book or in your book or in a workshop.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, we assume this is only for people who are in couples, but not everyone who's in a couple, you don't always have it where both members of the couple want to explore this. Do you have advice for people who are in that situation?
Tread carefully. It's a difficult situation, but it can be done. And certainly if one person is very, very strongly motivated, they can slowly bring in their partner. But getting back to the idea of individual or couples, is that the secret that nobody talks about is that Tantra is fundamentally an individual process. And the reason that we like to do it with couples is it's so much more powerful.
Gotcha.
Energetically.
If we have a couple come to us, we start out with individual breathing, consciousness, meditation, and sensuality exercises, which takes some time before they start connecting their energy systems. If the problem that exists in some relationships, and probably in the dating scene, is what I call energy vampires.
Sorry.
Sucking the energy from another. We don't. That doesn't work. You need a balanced partnership.
Yes, very much so. And it can be really hard to find balance. We live in an unbalanced world. right? Sure. I mean, I guess the world is inherently balanced, but human life is all over the place right now, right? There's a lot of intense emotions swirling around, a lot of ungrounded people, you know. And so finding that right partner, I mean, that in of itself could be a topic of a whole book. Maybe you guys have one about that.
We've thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good one. I want to ask you, so we've been talking a little bit about the semantics, which I appreciate you helping to set this up for people who are interested but don't really know, you know, how to start or what to do, or, you know, or more experienced. But I want to hear from you, because this book, it's not just a spirit book, it's also, or a relationship book, it's also a sex book. And you guys do unveil a lot of breakthrough sexual techniques in this book. And I'm hoping you could share with our audience like a little teaser of the types of breakthrough sex techniques that you guys have developed and that you talk about in Tantric Pathways.
Certainly. I think the foundation is what makes sex supernatural from a more mechanical point of view.
Yeah.
Most people have desire. They get turned on. There's all this heat and energy and maybe erections in their crotch. And, if they respond with tension, not with the open flow that meditative practice gives, then the pressure builds up. I call it the pleasure balloon pop. But supernatural sex, or spiritual, or any of the other semantics, is you learn to relax and focus and visualize and open the channels, the subtle energy channels, so the energy rises and starts energizing other parts of your body. If we skip all the way to the end of supernatural sex, it's the key to full body orgasm. But
full
in between, there's all these energy manifestations, connecting two erogenous zones in your own body, connecting different ones between you and your partner, circling energy back and forth. Those are some of the more specific.
And I know you talked about, was it 30 erogenous zones for women and 20 for men? Did I get that right?
Yes. I call them sweet spots, but it's the same thing.
Sweet spots. I like that. So why do women have more than men? Is it just because we're more sensitive and connected?
I'd like to think so. And I also think that women are more sexual than men.
If I ever meet the supreme being, I'm going to thank her for this.
Yeah. Me too. So can you, what are the weirdest sweet spots, just out of curiosity?
Well, if you examine the anatomy of the yoni, that's the tantric word for the vagina.
Yes.
There are a number outside. The clitoris is, of course, the most famous one on the outside that doesn't get any amount of the attention it deserves.
Amen.
70% of women, 70% of women need clitoral stimulation to orgasm. So you don't want to ignore it. But inside the yoni, there's a number of spots. The clitoris actually extends. It has five different lobes that extend down deep around the vaginal canal. So each of those are a sweet spot. We know about the G-spot, which isn't really a spot. It's the sponge that surrounds the urethra, the canal that propels urine out of the body. And many spots that can be sensitive there. Plus, there's three deeper ones at the end of the yoni, the forward and the back. The back one has a cute name. Most sexologists call it the cul-de-sac, wedged between the very end of the vaginal canal and the uterus, the womb.
You know, and it's funny, you guys wrote a book about female ejaculation and in 2005, at a time when it was very taboo, right?
Right.
And it's amazing now that we're actually kind of seeing it become, I find this fascinating, because people are like, oh, it's just pee. But the science has even shown, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is some fluid from the Skene's glands in female ejaculate. Am I right?
Yes, you are right.
I thought so.
Because Skene's glands don't produce the amount of fluid that comes out with what they call it in porn, a squirter. We don't mind using dirty
words. Squirting. No, so what's crazy is that I read in the UK that they banned squirting porn because it was too similar to urine, and they banned all porn that features urine. And that seemed very kind of like heteronormative to me, like a little bit unfair from the perspective of not heteronormative, but like, you know, a little patriarchal, like a female orgasm is not accepted, you know, but
I think patriarchy is still in charge.
Yeah.
And it's still very anti-sex.
You remind me of a student, a very professional, suave gentleman from the UK after most of the year-long training that we worked with him. And he stood up in front of the group and he said, "I've realized something I didn't learn as a child in Britain. Hmm. There's actually genitals below our belts."
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're different about it over there. But we're not that good about those theories.
Well, no, we're not. You know, I think things are changing. And I think that's part of why, like you said, these waves are these cycles of energy. And so people are becoming more sexually empowered and sexually connected and taking ownership of their bodies and their pleasures and their spirituality as well. And I want to get back to, of course, I'm going to keep sidetracking us, just so you know. But I want to get back into kind of some of these magical techniques. And I know, of course, people are really going to need to read your book or go to a workshop and really start working with these to get there. But I know there's a lot of magic involved in this, and it's energy magic and it's kind of chemistry. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, how this type of supernatural sex, how it can lead to those extended orgasms that you mentioned and long-term kind of lovemaking that lasts like far beyond just the genital orgasm, but the full body orgasm?
Sure. If you tune your receiver through meditation and breathing practices, which aren't that sexy or exciting for most people. They're just foundational. You know, just like yoga doesn't make you a supreme athlete. But you work on tuning your receiver, raising your awareness. And then you start feeling the subtle sensations that Kundalini produces in your pelvis. And then as you get turned on, as it starts to rise, then you learn how to connect it with different places in your body. For example, the orgasm gap, that many more men have orgasms than women, a well-documented thing in the literature.
Yes.
Well, if this fact that 70% of women need clitoral stimulation to orgasm is a true one, which I don't know how many dozens of studies I read about that.
Yes.
Then why do you just have penetrative sex with your genitals, with the penis and vagina, if 70% of the women aren't going to get maximum stimulation from it? So what do we do in supernatural sex? We awaken all the different sweet spots, the 30 in a woman, the 20 in a man, and we learn how to connect them so that, well, a simple physical example is, while we're making love, we find a position where I can put my hand on Jeffrey's clitoris. Hmm. If I can't, guess what? She does.
Yes.
Well, what we're doing, we call that a hot link in the book. We're flowing energy from two generators of sexual turn-on, and they start interacting and building and creating a resonance, so it's a bigger flow throughout the body. And it doesn't lead you immediately to a physical orgasm. It leads you to a higher state of your body being filled with orgasmic energy.
And then how do you learn to hold on to that or prolong that energy? Is that just practice, or is that some people are just innately good at kind of controlling that energy?
It's both of those things. Some people are naturally better at it, but most people have to practice.
Boy, did I have to practice a lot. I was bad at the beginning. You were bad.
Well, I mean, and look at you now. So that's giving hope to everyone out there, right? It's great that these are techniques you can learn. I think that's one of the most important things.
Yes.
But you have to believe that it's worth it.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to be willing to put the work in. Now, I want to ask you guys a side question, which is, in my research, I've found that, you know, millennials and Gen Z, we're actually having less sex with partners than our parents did at the same age, like the baby boomer generations. But we're masturbating a lot more. We're watching more porn. We're having, you know, more oral sex, more anal sex. Do you think that is masturbating to porn inherently a negative energy experience? Like, can it also be part of a supernatural sex experience?
I haven't read your book about being sex positive. I love the title and the subject. So I'm going to guess that you probably say something in there that any consensual sex is good.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's kind of the point of sex positive, right? Is that everybody can decide their boundaries and their limits and their consent. Yeah.
A very important part of supernatural sex is what we call the tantric attitude.
And that
is the way of approaching and thinking about sex. As you well know from your research, that we are still very confused about the value of sex in this culture. And we're working on it, and things are changing, and that's a really good thing. But to feel deep down that sex is to be valued for its pleasure, as well as for its health benefits, as its interrelationship benefits, that's something that is still really hard for a lot of women. And so that's part of the tantric attitude, revering sex.
At least in my mind, called tantric masturbation, which is different than just jerking off, getting yourself off just to have an orgasm and release the energy. To me, tantric masturbation, we prefer to call it self-pleasuring, just to
self-pleasure.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. But if the point is to use your genitals or other parts of your body as a generator of good feelings, that can go on for hours. I have one client who, after working with him for quite a long time, started complaining that he couldn't masturbate for more than 6 hours at a time.
Oh, man, don't quit your day job.
He was just raising Kundalini and having a great time, and bodies do have their limits.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But for, in this, I like this approach, though, because it is a sex-positive approach, and it seems like there's a lot of potential for healing relationships and healing from trauma, too, that can happen when we approach sexuality from this perspective. Do you guys agree?
Absolutely. I recently had a couple clients that the man wanted more sex. What he really wanted was more intimacy, but came out in the form of sex. And the wife was really not very interested in sex. She was working full time and had two children, blah, blah, blah. The point is that is a very common dynamic in our society.
Yes.
Where one of the partners is not very, very interested in sex and the other is. And those two need to be able to communicate about it and find ways of connecting and thinking positively about improving their sex life, because it's so bonding.
I'm a guy, so I can't always relate to the female experience very well. But I think a lot of it comes from the fact that untrained guys go right for the orgasm. It's a gratification society effect. And the women aren't getting the touch, the awakening, the love, the words, the kisses that awakens, that raises their Kundalini. And I find that when you reach a woman at different levels than her groin, suddenly her whole body awakens. So I think that dynamic is going on in a lot of relationships.
I absolutely agree.
Absolutely. Well, and just like what you guys were talking about earlier with the way that sexology has traditionally viewed a female orgasm was that it's, you know, male sexual arousal light, so to speak. So evolutionarily, if penetrative sex leads to babies, then that should be what pleasures men and it should be what pleasures women. And that's kind of been like the accepted framework. Now, of course, we know that that's not true in the sense that, like you were just saying, all these different sweet spots and erogenous zones. And I believe, though, that it's something that people want to learn. They're just afraid to ask the questions. And particularly, imagine people who have been, you know, in a relationship for a long time, and then suddenly, you know, if the man starts doing different stuff sexually, the female might be kind of freaked out or think he's cheating. or wonder, you know, where it's coming from. Yeah, exactly. So I agree, like Jeffrey, what you were just saying about how couples can learn to better communicate about their changing sexual desires and needs, I think is a huge topic. And I don't really know exactly what the answer is. Maybe you have some tips for us.
Well,
you wrote a book about it.
I did a workshop for that. I mean, part of the problem is we're still teaching women subtly, but it's there, that sex is for making babies.
Yes.
It's not for pleasure, and pleasure is not necessarily good. Well, I come from a position that pleasure is the ultimate, that is what life is all about. And so tantric sex just fits in there perfectly.
But you really have to
believe and want to have good sex.
Which not everyone does, either out of their own trauma or because they don't know better or because they don't feel worthy of it.
Right.
Well, their parents were embarrassed because they were doing what their parents did. And so the big talk when you're going through adolescence is so awkward. And I remember when my dad took me aside and started leafing through a book. And I said, "Dad, my two friends told me about it in the men's bathroom." He said, "Who are they?" I mean, this is actually true. Who were the two kids that told you about sex? John Winkler and Bob Dickerman. Wherever you guys are from my sixth grade, I thank you very much for the news.
Shout out, guys. Oh, my God. That's definitely speaking of like a purpose. I mean, those names just say it all, don't they? That's awesome.
So our culture doesn't talk about sex. I remember at a party once, a very open party, where some guy said to Jeffrey, they were flirting and talking about, are they going to have a date or not? And the guy said to her, "Where's your G-spot?" I was blown away. It never occurred to me to ask that. Do you remember that? Never occurred to me. What a sensitive and intimate thing to ask if you're considering making love.
I like that. I like that a lot. But so I think what you're saying is like some people are very open. We live in a really ambivalent society right now where like the millennials and the Gen Z are all there's all sex, like everything is like sending nudes and, you know, sex tapes and whatever. But there isn't necessarily the like energetic heart and soul behind it or an explanation of what's going on. Although, you know, we are seeking out yoga and tantra and all the ancient knowledge. And it brings me back to something that you guys said earlier about the difference between intimacy and sexuality. And for so long, we've been taught it's one and the same. And now what we're looking at, we're saturated with sex, but we have very little intimacy. You know, when you look at social media and you look at the way that everything's just out there for everyone to see and comment on. And one of my questions personally is like, how do we help people rebuild that intimacy and have a dialogue about that intimacy, that it's not just sex that they want. It's that energetic, sensual closeness.
Yeah.
And
well, I think that intimacy begins with intimacy with yourself.
Good point.
That you have to honor yourself, love yourself, and be willing to share yourself with other people. And I don't have anything against modern means of communication, but it is not an intimacy building way of communicating. I just read, you can help me, dear, I can't remember the number, but I just read about the number of millennials, 30%, I think, who are lonely.
Oh, yeah, we're very lonely. We're like alone together. That's how I see
it. Yeah. Yeah. So that's another learning, you know, now that we can communicate so well via our devices, we have to go back and learn how to communicate with each other.
And it's weird because, you guys go.
That's really a good position to explain where Tantra fits in. As a spiritual philosophy aimed at raising consciousness and seeking enlightenment, you have to know yourself. You have to get inside, watch your mind, still your mind, learn to regulate your breathing, all the basic stuff that you might say the energetic yoga. And when you get more centered and more grounded, then you can own up to what your feelings are. Then you can ask for what you want. Then you can listen without reacting to when your partner does the same. And that really, there's a chapter in Pathways to Supernatural Sex about that. You have to have that kind of dialogue going. It's not a kind of sex where the dominant male knows exactly what the woman's body needs and gives it to her. That's a very old myth. The new paradigm is partnership.
Yes. Yes. And that's, and when we're talking about healing and growth and kind of that energy expansion, it has to come from a consensual, equal partnership.
Exactly.
I think it's just hard for people. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not that hard for people. What I wonder is, you know, there's so many different layers to this topic, and there's people who have been together for a long time. Right. And there's in a sexual rut. Okay. And do you guys counsel couples in this situation?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you get them out of the boredom?
It's all part of the same puzzle that we've been talking about. So the first thing we do is we get them to start talking about it.
Yeah.
And we talk about it in front of them, so that they begin to feel more comfortable with the words coming out of their mouth. And then we help them learn the supportive, energetic, spiritual, and physical avenues to support that. But it really begins with communication.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
I look at it from a guy's point of view, which is, I'm programmed when we're making love to think about what does she want, what does she like, the last time she liked this, the time before she didn't like that, what should I do now, am I at the right angle, should we change? This is what my monkey mind does. That's why meditation is so vital. But what I'm not doing, and I think a lot of guys are not doing, is I'm not feeling what's going on inside my body, which then gives me a portal to feeling what's going on inside her body. And when I make that shift, suddenly it's never dull. It's not routine anymore. A lot of times Jeffrey and I will have a series of huge peaks. Orgasms or not, they're just these really spontaneously spiking explosions of pleasure. And we'll lay there breathing and look at each other and said, how could anybody ever be bored with sex? It's so different every time. It's so fantastic every
time. Yes. So it's really getting out of your head. I think that's and into your body, which is, like you said, the point of meditation and breath work and really the spiritual path is about shutting that part of you off that takes you out of the present moment.
Exactly. Or,
yeah.
One of the other definitions of tantric sex is meditative sex.
Meditative sex.
When you are together, you have an intimate relationship, you're communicating, you know how to meditate, and you're at the height of ecstasy, you just let go. And you are meditating with your partner and with Source.
You remind me of my big faux pas when I was first learning Tantra. There's a basic exercise in the Pathways book we call orgasmic breathing. It's really the way that your body responds when you're having an orgasm. You breathe, you make noise, you move, and all these different things you're feeling. Well, orgasmic breathing is a tantric practice where you simulate and encourage those things to happen in your body. So we practice that every day for I don't know how many months, a year or two after the year-long training we did, we were having this talk after making love, and I said, you know, I don't really know how to use orgasmic breathing when we're making love. Do you, how do you do it, Jeffrey? And she said, just exactly like when we're sitting across from each other and undulating and looking at each other. She said, "You're not doing orgasmic breathing while we're making love." No, I didn't. I never integrated. I wasn't doing the energy practice that we'd spent a year learning. But I did, and boy, it changed my life.
That's amazing. And I want to reiterate that anyone out there can try this. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, it's not going to lead you down like some dark, it's not like evil, dark magic. This is like our kind of, the way I see it, like we all have this. Well, actually, let me ask you guys, why is it that we're capable of doing this? That human beings can have these deep energetic connections and, you know, use sexuality to stimulate their entire energy system. Why do you think that is?
Because it's natural. The way that we've been bred, conditioned, programmed is not. So yes. If you just get all that social conditioning that doesn't serve the being out of the way, it just happens.
Yes.
There's a fallacy that's very common, that natural sex is good sex. Mm. Natural sex is not good sex. Natural sex is what bunnies do. And in our culture, the average sexual encounter is 10 minutes or less.
Yeah.
That's natural sex. That is not fulfilling sex.
Mm.
Fulfilling sex is what the ancients learned, that you can use it to expand your energy, expand your ecstasy, and increase your connection with your partner and with the divine.
I love that. And I wanted to ask you, you know, we're coming off the Me Too movement and this whole kind of collective purging of the sexual traumas that we've experienced as like a society, as women, as men, as everyone. How can this type of energetic or supernatural sex, how can people who have sexual trauma use this to heal?
Healing is a big aspect in any kind of spiritual or supernatural sex. Just moving energy, just doing the breathing practices, just exchanging energy with your partner, like the flood in a creek in the spring that scours the banks, it will open your channels. But that's slow compared to shamanic energy techniques or more interventions. The body tends to get armor, like old energy that's not examined, and traumas create this tension, particularly around the pelvis. You never get it addressed with a massage therapist. They can't touch you there. When you're with your lover or with yourself, you're going for the gold. You're not worried about relaxing and opening up. So there are more direct healing practices, some of them talked about in the book and others, which we do with clients, which accelerate the letting go of the baggage that's stuck in the body.
Yeah, I've had a psoas release before. That is one. That's an interesting one.
That's a powerful method.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just curious, you know, you guys, how long did you say you've been together for?
23 years.
23 years. Wow. And obviously you guys are still keeping it fresh in the bedroom, right?
Unbelievable. And yes, we are.
Should I tell her about last night?
I will.
I'm wondering what motivated you for our listeners out there. I get a lot of questions about this too, of people that want to go into this line of work, right? Mm-hmm. And often it's most of us because we have our own stuff that we're trying to work through. I know psychologists, you know, I always say we go to school for psychology to learn to appear normal and I certainly didn't. I failed. But, what do you have advice for people who want to get into doing this as a career, as a job, as a healing kind of lifestyle?
You know, we've had a couple singles come to us for private workshops in that exact position.
Yeah.
What did we tell them, Jeffrey?
I'm much better at speaking off the cuff than trying to remember what I said 10 years ago. I think the important thing is that you have to groom yourself individually. Mm. You have to open up sexually. You have to start talking about it. You need to take classes. You need to have a full background of what's going on and how you as a person are involved in it. And then find somebody that you want to study with. Find somebody that you want to take classes with, that you want to mentor with, and go from there.
Yep, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it's not, usually people don't just stumble into this line of work, but sometimes they do, I find. And there's just a lot of magical stuff. Gosh, we only have like 2 minutes left in the show, you guys.
Oh, boy.
Well, on that note, do you have any beautiful closing thoughts that you'd like to share with us about kind of the magic of tantric sex, of supernatural sex, and kind of how people can find out more?
Reading books, podcasts, you know, YouTube, all that stuff. But the thing that astounds me, as we were alluding to it earlier, is at our age, we are still enjoying sex so much that we look forward to it all the time and put it into our schedule all the time. And being retired is the best.
Yes.
I would leave this thought for your listeners, that if you get into the silent, still space, even when you're turned on, when you're playing with yourself or playing with a partner or being handled, and you, instead of rushing towards the big, quick orgasm, is that you relax into it and you heighten your feelings and you let the kundalini rise. That's when the magic happens. It's as if you're taking 5% of the energy and having it make you have an orgasm, when you could let it grow and grow and grow and be filled with 100% of this life force. And that's when the supernatural things happen. And you can do that individually.
Yes. So just give it a try and practice and see what happens too, right? That's amazing. Well, you guys, this was such a great show. I'd love to talk to you more. Again, I have Dr. Jeffrey Talltrees and Samaj Pokras here, and let's get your website one more time just so that everyone knows. I believe it's tantra@tahoe.com. Is that right?
That's our main website, which has got lots of articles and services and all that.
And our other books.
And our other books, many of them e-books and a couple printed ones. Well,
and
we just started supernatural.sex, which is a new kind of website that has the .sex at the end.
I like that.
Specifically about
people. Yes, and that's specifically for this book. And you guys, there's so many really amazing activities in this book. So if you liked what we were talking about and you're just getting into this and looking for a place to start, Tantric Pathways Supernatural Sex is probably the place that you want to start. And you could find that on all, it's on Amazon, right? And all online booksellers.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, on that note, Samaj and Jeffrey, thank you again. It's been lovely to talk to you. I'm going to send you a copy of my book too when it comes out. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you to everyone for tuning in today to Lucid Planet Radio. I had such a wonderful time. It's one of my favorite topics. And remember, you can go to thelucidplanet.com and find all of our podcasts. And stay tuned for Sex Positive 2020. Thanks again to our guests. And have a wonderful day. Lots of love. And yeah, I will be back on the air with a new show first week of December. All right. Bye, guys. Thanks again.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.
preceding audio was via a Skype call.